This is the Pipeline Mag podcast. Today, a benchmark on prompt to UI tools shows their written explanations regularly describe functional features the generated code never built.
Before we start, this episode was generated by AI from a Pipeline Mag article, and the hosts are synthetic voices.
What's striking about this benchmark is how specific the drop-off is between what an AI says it built and what actually shows up on the screen.
Right, because on styling and structure, the alignment is actually fairly high, isn't it?
It is. Across all 120 generated interfaces, the paper's thinking fidelity score averaged 0.75 and held highest on styling at 0.81 and structure at 0.79.
Which are the exact layers you can verify just by glancing at a still image.
Exactly. The explanation stays roughly honest about anything a screenshot would catch.
And stops being honest about anything that requires pressing a key?
Precisely. On functional tasks, the fidelity score drops down to 0.66. And on the specific functional UX principles named in each prompt, four of the five tools scored 0.06 or lower.
0.06 or lower? Across which tools?
The benchmark tested prompt to UI tools like ChatGPT, Claude, Firebase Studio, Vercel V0, and Bolt. And these tools don't just hand back an interface, they hand back a fluent account of why they made each choice.
Who published this benchmark?
It's called Design Theater, published on July 24th, 2026, built by researchers led by Kashif Imtiaz, with Michael Muller and Saif Savage among the co-authors.
And scoring those 120 generated interfaces against the tool's own stated rationales, what was their main finding?
They found more than a quarter of the explanations described something the code didn't actually do. And that gap rises to 34% when you look specifically at functional requirements.
How did they actually measure whether a rationale matched the build?
Two independent human raters did the scoring, comparing extracted elements across static screens. Their agreement was solid. A kappa of 0.70 for the fidelity measure, and a kappa of 0.90 for a second adherence score.
Wait, static screens? Comparing static screens seems like a major limitation when you're evaluating functional UX principles like focus states or keyboard navigation.
It is, and the paper's limitation section takes that head on.
Right, because the researchers constrained every tool to plain HTML, CSS, and JavaScript with no component libraries allowed.
Which is a crucial choice.
It's huge. A tool that can reach for an off-the-shelf component library gets keyboard navigable tabs and focus states almost for free. If it has to hand-roll plain code, it has to build all of that manually. That choice alone plausibly depresses the functional scores.
The authors explicitly acknowledge that. They note that restricting tools to plain code without libraries might depress functional scores. And they emphasize that five tools at one version is just a snapshot of fast-moving systems, not a final verdict on generative UI.
And at 3.5 weeks old, Design Theater has no published rebuttal yet, but no independent replication has surfaced either.
Plus, Imtiaz and his co-authors were explicit about what they actually measured, whether a stated rationale shows up in the artifact produced. They explicitly did not test whether anyone reads those rationales, trusts them, or ships on the strength of them. That was outside the scope of an artifact study.
So we shouldn't assume designers are blindly shipping bad builds based on these write-ups.
We shouldn't assume it without evidence, but read across from what they measured to what Andy Budd described, and the picture completes itself.
What did Andy Budd write?
Writing in Smashing Magazine on July 29th, 2026, just 5 days after the benchmark came out, the design consultant warned that Andy Budd has seen this failure mode before, just not manufactured at this scale. He wrote that plausible design is dangerous. It looks coherent in a product review, it uses the right components, the spacing is fine.
And what was his conclusion?
His conclusion was blunt. A lot of bad product decisions already survive because they look plausible. AI will produce more of them.
Because the rationale quietly becomes the review surface.
Exactly. It's not decoration bolted onto the interface afterward. A design engineer opening a build from this generation of prompt app tools tends to read the explanation before clicking into the build itself.
it's the fastest way to sanity check dozens of generated screens against a prompt.
And that's where the mismatch becomes dangerous.
Because the write-up is worst exactly where a reviewer needs it most. Keyboard navigation, focus states, and error handling are precisely the functional principles the benchmark found missing most often. So the review has to stop reading and start tabbing through the interface by hand, testing exactly what the narration was least reliable at describing.
That lines up with what Nielsen Norman Group's Raluca Budiu argues about evaluating AI output more broadly. She warned that a single output is an example, not an evaluation. And one good result never shows how reliably a system repeats it.
And it's the exact same mismatch Pipeline found in AI-generated documents that describe intentions the code base doesn't keep. The story told in the text simply diverges from the code.
Though again, if these benchmark constraints mean the functional scores were depressed by omitting component libraries, future model updates or standard library integration could fix a lot of that functional gap.
That's possible. None of the paper's limitations change what a quarter of the rationales already say about themselves. It only bounds how far the number should travel. Bud's product review, the one where everything looks coherent, the components are right, and the spacing is fine, was never really checking against the code.
It was checking against a story about the code, told fluently by the same system that wrote it.
And until that story earns the verification Bud is asking the industry for, the safest way to review a generated screen is still the one that skips the write-up and opens the build.
That's the episode. The full article with the sources is at pipelinemag.ai.